It's been wonderful to be with you, and you guys really know how to eat, and you know how to eat dessert. Boy, it was great, and appreciate it. Very sorry that that Steve is sick. I hope I didn't have anything to do with it, and so please give him my best. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11... We'll start reading in verse 7. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is Havel. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are Havel. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed. And the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped and the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Havel of Havel, says Kohelet, all is Havel. Besides being wise, the preacher, that is Kohelet, also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. Kohelet sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond of these, of the making of many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. This is God's holy word. Let's pray together. Father, we do come to you on this Lord's Day morning, and we acutely feel our need for you, for your help. We pray that you would open your word to us today. Father, we do pray that you would speak to us. We pray that you would give us understanding and insight. We pray, Father, especially for the young among us, we pray that they would hear these words of wisdom and take them to heart. We pray, Father, that you would do good to all of us. We pray that you would give us a perspective on life which truly honors you and glorifies you as the giver of all good things. We ask that the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted and that you would do good to us through your Holy Spirit and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that we live in a culture that is absolutely obsessed with youth and with looking young. People spend all kinds of money to keep it, to prolong it, or at least to pretend that they have it. And our culture has a message that's clear, and that is the only people who really matter are those who are 18 to 30, thin, and incredibly good looking. Which means most of us are not very valuable to today's culture. Paul Tripp actually calls this trend the youthification of Western culture. As we consider what our culture values, and then we come to the book of Ecclesiastes, we realize that Kohelet actually gives us a perspective not only on youth, but also on old age. And Kohelet actually will give us a perspective on both of those ends of life that will, on the one hand, enable us to enjoy our youth without fighting against old age, and then he will give us perspective on how to prepare for that old age and age, hopefully, with grace and dignity. One thing that Kohelet wants to make absolutely clear is that if we idolize youth, and by the way, you don't have to be young to idolize youth. You can be an old person who idolizes youth. But idolizing youth, the fear of losing it, will spoil the gift of God while we have it. And so Solomon tells us, right out of the gates, verses 7 and 8, enjoy life while you can see the sun. In verse 7, when he says, light is sweet and it's pleasant for the eyes to see, it's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun, the idea throughout the book of Ecclesiastes actually is that to see the sun is to actually experience the sweetness of life. So in one sense, Kohelet presents to us our life as under the sun, as life on this in this death row cell, but it's also a life in which God very graciously allows the light of the sun to shine into that death row cell. And so it is in the midst of that that we actually experience the delight and the warmth and the joy that is pictured of seeing the sun. And then Solomon says very clearly, rejoice in all of your years. Notice verse 8, he says, so if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them. What's the operative word? All. And so Solomon is actually telling us, listen, there is the sunlight of youth that you should enjoy. As long as God gives those rays of joy and warmth and delight to you, enjoy those things. And if you live many years, if you make it to old age, make sure that you enjoy each and every successive stage of life. Each and every successive stage is the gift of God that's been given to you to enjoy. Now, we've emphasized this yesterday a number of times, and that is each chapter of life is actually the gift of God to us. And as that chapter closes, instead of bemoaning the loss of another chapter of life, Solomon tells us, enjoy it as the gift of God. That's what it was. And now God is bringing another chapter of life. My wife and I are about to enter into a chapter of life that's brand new for us. My youngest son is a senior in high school. He'll be graduating, which means Lord willing, he will be leaving home with his older brother who's 20, and that means we'll be empty nesters. Well, for the last 25 years, we actually have had children in our home. This is going to be a new chapter. And what Solomon wants us to understand, I think this is what he would say if Kohelet was sitting in our living room. He'd say, Brian and Ariel, look, the last 25 years has been a wonderful chapter of your life. You have been able to raise your children together. You've been able to instruct them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But now that chapter is over. There's another chapter, and that chapter is just as much the gift of God as the previous chapter. And if all we do is bemoan the loss of the previous chapter, we'll never enjoy the chapter that we're on. And so Solomon, who pulls no punches, says, you better rejoice in all of these years that God gives you. And then notice the second part of verse 8. Let him remember the days of darkness will be many, and all that comes is havel. Here's the reason why you need to enjoy life as long as you possibly can. Because you have to remember the days of darkness are coming, and those days will in fact probably be many. In other words, if you don't die young, you will get old. And old age will seem to drag on. And then he makes this closing note, all that is to come is havel. Oh, all of these wonderful chapters that are gifts of God are all moving towards the close of the book and the final chapter. And the final chapter, Kohelet says, is actually a chapter that is filled with more darkness than all of the other chapters. And it is that final chapter that comes, it's darkness, it's old age. It is, as we'll see in chapter 12, the aging process. And he says it's all havel. He's going to describe the aging process for us, and some of you will say, this is what my life is like now. Kohelet has described it. The house is falling apart. But understand what he wants you to do. He wants you to see that this life that God has given you will in fact wind down. It will come to a close with old age. Therefore, let that reality of that final chapter motivate you to enjoy everything that comes before it. Verse 9, he says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. As we look at that, we realize what Solomon is doing is what I've argued he does throughout the whole book, and that is he is pursuing us to make sure that we pursue joy in life. You honor God best when you rejoice in life as the gift from Him. And so he tells, young man, rejoice. That is a biblical command. Understand, you and I have just as much moral obligation to rejoice as we have moral obligation not to steal. It is a biblical command. God tells us to rejoice. And so the idea is the days go by quickly, and so maximize the joys of the prime of life. Now, he's not telling us go to Palm Beach for spring break. All right? That's not what he's arguing here. He's not telling us to live a life of lasciviousness and excess. What he's telling us is that in the prime of life, and what he's talking about is he's talking about that period of time of early adulthood. You've moved through childhood. Remember, from a biblical perspective, there really was no such thing as adolescence. You had childhood and you had adulthood. As you begin to leave childhood and enter into adulthood, that is seen, those early years of adulthood are seen to be the very prime of life. And what Solomon is telling us is there is a uniqueness to those years The prime of life brings not only unique enjoyments, but also challenges and opportunity for achievement. And as you start to see those things unfold before you, young person, seize the moment and live it to the full and enjoy it for the glory of God. I know that I look incredibly young, almost as young as Mr. Wassel over here. But I'm probably a little older than you think, but we'll just leave that as is. I look back, I got married young, all right? I was 12, my wife was 20, all right? Now, as I look back, those early days of marriage, those are unique times, aren't they not? Those days are absolutely unique. Those first couple of years of marriage, they're brand new. Those first couple of years of kids coming on the scene, there's an excitement there. Those first few years of entering into your career and what God's called you to be, there's a newness to that stage of life. There are challenges to that stage of life. And what Solomon is telling us is, look, seize the moment, because that time of life is a fleeting time of life. It's going to be short, and so enjoy it to the glory of God. On the one hand, he is not telling us be libertine and live a morally excessive life. But on the other hand, he's also telling us don't be a stodgy, stoic person who never enjoys life as God has given it. On the one hand, when he says God will judge, understand this. He most certainly means God will judge moral excess. But he also means God will call us into account of whether or not we enjoyed life as the gift that he gave it. And so, on the one hand, the promiscuous will be judged, and on the other hand, the sullen will be judged. Enjoy this life. God's going to call us to account. He's going to call us to account on how well we enjoyed this life that he gave to us. That's a different thing to think about, isn't it? Most of the time when we think about the judgment of God, do you know what we think about? We think about God judging us for all the things that we've done in the body, whether what we say, good or bad. And normally what do we focus on? We focus on the bad things. We focus on the sins. Well, here's what Solomon is telling us. Listen, God's going to hold us accountable for how well you enjoyed the life that he gave to you. He closes this section and he says, remove vexation. This is verse 10. Remove vexation from your heart. Put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are havel. And so here is this wonderful section. He starts to close it out. And basically what he's telling us is, listen, you need to enjoy this short life that God has given you. And don't be an angry person, because life is just too short. When he says put away vexation from you, he's saying put away everything that eats away at the joys of life. Life is just flat out too short. Notice he says, the ESV puts it like this, for youth and the dawn of life are havel. Remember, sometimes havel is vapor, transience, temporariness. And so the idea is, hey, the stuff that eats away at your life, the stuff that saps away your joy, make sure you put that away from you. Make sure you don't give opportunity for those things to corrode your life. The reason is because life is really too short to allow that kind of stuff to happen. Now, literally, what he says is, youth and black hair are havel. Almost all of our translations, the Tanakh, which is the Jewish translation of the Hebrew scriptures, translates it black hair, and then there's a couple other versions that do. But most everybody deals with black hair just in terms of the dawn of life. Okay? Black hair is fleeting. In other words, youth and the vigor of youth is fleeting away. Why waste it on being an angry person. By the way, if you're an angry young person, you'll be an angrier old person. So, this first section, youth is the gift of God. Live it coram Deo. That is, live it in the face of God. John Piper wrote a famous book years ago, Don't Waste Your Life. Solomon would say, don't waste your youth. Live it for God. Soak in the light. Enjoy life and enjoy love and enjoy the gifts that He's given to you for His glory and His honor, and seize the day. And then chapter 12, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. In one sense, the havel of youth is that it's fleeting. It's a vapor. It goes by so quickly, so you have to seize it while you have it. But then the havel of youth gives way to the havel of old age. And the havel of old age is a different kind of havel. It is the kind of havel that's not the transitory, ephemeral, vapor quality. It is the kind of havel that is the absurdity and the pain and the mystery of life. You don't have to be a believer to even understand this. There's a cliche that expresses this sentiment exactly. And that is that youth is wasted on who? On the young. The sentiment often goes like this. If only I, with all of my wisdom and experience of old age, could once again enjoy the days of my youth. And that's how many, many people feel. And Kohelet says, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And so, make sure that you do what? Make sure you remember your Creator in the days of youth. Getting old actually serves as an impetus to enjoy youth. Listen, young people, very carefully. You'll all get old. It seems like a long ways away. But I can tell you, there are quite a few of us here that look around and see you young kids, and it doesn't seem like it was all that long ago that we were sitting right where you are. Time goes by so quickly. And then before you know it, you're old. I remember the first time I looked at my grandfather and thought, Grandpa looks old. My grandfather always seemed like he could work from morning to night all day long, and he was strong and he was durable. And one day I looked at him and I thought, he's old. And boy, from the time I thought he's old to the time that he left this world, it went by so quickly. The decline happened so fast. Just a few years ago, I looked at my dad and I thought, my dad is looking old. One of these days, my kids will look at me and they'll say, have you noticed? Dad looks old. Now, they say that now, but I don't think they mean it. I tell my sons, any gray you see in this beard, those whiskers are for Zach, those whiskers are for Alex. All right? One of these days, my kids will say, boy, Dad looks old, and then it'll just be a matter of time before they're standing at some graveside somewhere, putting me in the ground. That's the reality. That's life. That's what happens. And Solomon says, listen, you have to understand, young person, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Why? Because you're going to get old. Remember, when he says remember, when the Bible talks about remember, the Bible never says remember in the sense of, oh, recollect something once in a while. But that is, when it says remember, what the Bible is talking about is making the connections between truth and our present life. And then when you remember, when you bring truth to bear on life, then it is to lead you to action. That's the Bible concept of remember. And so it's remember your Creator. That is, remember your King. Remember the one who made you. Remember the one who owns you. Your Creator. You know what that indicates to all of us here? And that is a simple truth. And that is, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to the God who made you. This is what is so profoundly wrong with our culture and our craze that our bodies are our own possession, even to the insane end of saying, I have the right to kill a baby inside of me because this is my body. And Solomon would say, nonsense, that body, that soul, that mind was made by God and it belongs to God. You don't belong to yourself. Remember your Creator. Remember that you have one who made you and rules over you in the days of your youth. You get that? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Do you understand, young person, that God not only deserves all of your years, all of your days, but God deserves especially the best of your days? I don't remember where I saw this. I'm sure some of you have heard it before. Youth is for pleasure. Age is for business. Old age is for religion. Let the devil have the prime. Give God the dregs. Solomon would say that is the most foolish way to live your life. You remember God in the days of your youth. You give God your prime. You give God your best days because He is worthy of them. There is nothing. You will never, ever, ever look back in old age to your time of youth, young person. If you live for God, you'll never look back with one day of regret. If you live for self and if you live for the world and you live for the devil, you get to old age, you know what you will do? You will look back on regret. And you know what? If by God's grace you have a repentant heart towards Him in old age, you will look back on the days of your youth and you will have one thing that you wish above everything else, and that is you wish you will have given God the best of your years. But the fact is that people often die in exactly the same way that they live. And so if you live for self and you live for this world and you live for the devil, don't fool yourself and think that religion is for old age and that somehow in old age you're going to turn. What if your heart is so hardened in old age that you hate God? And so Solomon says, listen, remember God in the days of your youth before the evil days come. And you say, I have no pleasure in these. Understand that what Solomon is saying is once you enter into that darkness of the old age period of life, that aging process, there are certain aspects where there are liabilities to old age. I love my parents and they love the Lord and I am so thankful for them. But you know, when I call them and talk to them, they live over in Sacramento. They're about 2.5 hours away. When I call them up and I talk to them, you know what we talk about? We talk about doctor's appointments. Sometimes old age gets to the biggest events of the week are doctor's appointments and standing in line at the pharmacy. But there are also not only physical infirmities, but there can be moral infirmities to old age. The Puritan William Bridge actually calls these the moral infirmities of old age. And just listen to these. I wrote these down years ago. And he says, in old age, men are apt to be too drowsy and remiss in the things of God. Then men are too apt to be too covetous and tenacious for the things of the world. Then they are apt to be too timorous and fearful. Then they are apt to be too touchy, too peevish, too angry, too forward. For old age is a continued sickness, and in sickness men are apt to be angry. Then they are also apt to be, or unapt to be taught, and are very unteachable. They think that they know more than everybody else, and that they are not now to learn anything. In old age, men are often hard to please. They're often full of complaints of the present times, praising the days of old, and the old men of those days complained as much in their days as the ones that do in the present. Of all men, old men are most impenitent, for by custom and long continuance in sin, they are the most hardened, and so they are the least penitent. They are also apt to think and speak of the sins of their youth with delight, and so commit those again by thought and word, which they cannot commit by action. They are full of suspicions and very apt to surmise, suspect, and fear the worst, for experience, giving notice of former dangers, keeps their souls in continual alarm. There are certain liabilities that can come with old age. And Solomon says, listen, young people, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before you turn out like that. Before you say, I have no more pleasure in life. What Solomon does then is he gives a description of these evil days in verses 2 to 5. In this description, it's very metaphorical, obviously, and there's a lot of debate on what some of these things mean. I'm not going to go into all of the possibilities, but let me just describe these things. So the idea is, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before you say you have no pleasure in Him, and then he says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened. That is, before the luminaries, those that give light, are darkened. That is the fading joy of life. Remember your Creator before the joys of life fade. And then he says, before the clouds return after the rain. The idea is probably there, this endless cycle of darkness and gloom, maybe indicating just an endless cycle of sickness and sorrows. And oftentimes in old age, what happens is there's just one setback after another after another. How many times have we seen, even in our church, once a person hits a certain period of life, and then they get into this period of sickness, and then they start to come out of it, only to be thrown back into another period of sickness, and it just becomes this endless cycle until their life finally ends. Verse 3, in that day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent. Keepers of the house is probably the idea of the arms and the hands, once strong and protective, are now nothing but just trembling and unable to do anything. The strong men, probably the legs, and it looks, there was a time where they were the strong and they held the man upright, but now they've lost strength and they're bent with age. The grinders, you guys know what the grinders are, don't you? It's, of course, the teeth. And what we have is a tooth population that's on the decline, and then the few survivors are less effective. All right? The windows are dimmed. That is, the eyes begin to lose strength because of cataracts or glaucoma or other, just loss of sight. The doors on the street are shut. Probably the idea that the hearing is beginning to be lost. And there's three things here. The mill is grinding low. That is what used to be a loud noise to him. Now just seems like a low murmur somewhere. But then he's such a light sleeper, even though his hearing is gone, he wakes up at the tweet of a bird, and then he can barely hear music anymore. Is this not a true description of what happens? Notice the next description. Verse 5, they're afraid of what is high and terrors are in the way. Afraid of heights, but also notice, afraid of traveling. Terrors are in the way. I still remember to this day, my grandparents would come and visit us, and my grandfather would always use the same excuse. We got to head home. I got to get home and feed the pigs. My grandfather raised pigs. Got to get home and feed the pigs. And I remember one day my dad saying, you know, Mom and Dad never stay after dark anymore. It's like he's got to get home before it gets dark. And I remember my mom saying, you know what? I think he's just afraid of driving home in the dark anymore. And now, do you know how difficult it is to get my mom and dad to drive over the hill to come and see us? We were going to come over, but we can't come over because it might snow. We can't come over because, and in old age, not only is there a fear of heights, there's also just a fear of traveling. And then notice this, the almond tree blossoms. I see a few blossoming almond trees in front of me. Okay? That is, the hair begins to go gray. Notice the next description, the grasshopper drags itself along. This is probably the idea of the legs and the feet are now shuffling along as the older person tries to walk. The ESV very tactfully says desire fails. If you have the New American Standard, it says the caperberry is ineffective. This is simply the impotence of old age. And then Solomon tells us, because man is going to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. The idea is that old age will ultimately come. Death, and while the person dies, the mourners will continue in the street. But here it is, although death takes another victim, remember the sun also rises. And so remember God in the days of your youth before death comes knocking at your door. Verses 6 and 7 give us a description of death. And again, there's a tremendous amount of debate over what the imagery is. Before the silver cord is snapped, the golden bowl is broken, the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, and the wheel is broken at the cistern. Some people have said this represents four different types of life: the wealthy, the fragile, the strong, the useful. Others say that they represent the physiology, the spine, silver cord being the spine, the golden bowl, the brain. Others just say it just simply has to do with the value and utility of these ordinary things. They're broken, they're no longer functioning, and that's what happens at death. Whatever the case, Solomon is absolutely clear. Once this happens, the body returns to dust. The once strong and handsome or beautiful person, when they die, they just go back to the dust from where they came. The spirit returns to God, Solomon says, but the body just goes to the dust of which it came, which reminds us of something, and that is, no matter how strong, how handsome, how beautiful you are, all it is at this point in life is well-structured dirt. There's coming a time where the structure begins to lose its form, and then it will go right back to the dust from where it came. The spirit returns to God. Doug Wilson says the release of Havel is Havel. And then Solomon ends right where he began. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Havel of Havels, all is Havel, says Kohelet. Again, it's superlative. As he thinks about death, death is the ultimate Havel. And you have this incredible bookend. It begins that way. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It ends that way. And what Solomon is telling us is, listen, what I have taught you in these 12 chapters is a realistic view of life. It is a gritty view of life, and the only way to actually live to the honor and glory of God is to receive that life as a gift, live it to the full in each successive chapter, because here's the reality: life is short, then you die, then you give an account to God. That is what life is all about. No stage of life lasts forever. No period of life is interminable. We are all terminal, and we're all heading to the same goal and the same direction. And so therefore, he concludes with these words, verses 13 and 14. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or bad. That's life. That's life. So if you're a young person, listen to me very, very carefully. Look honestly at your life. Maybe God has made you really smart. Maybe God has made you really athletic. Maybe God has made you really beautiful. Maybe God has made you rather ordinary. You are the person that God made you. He has given you the life that you have. And you have to be honest with the fact that one of these days, you'll get old and you will die. If you don't die in youth. Live your life in such a way that when all is said and done, you are ready to give an account to the God who made you. Live your life in such a way that you show that you clung to Jesus Christ by faith in a way that you realize this life is a gift, eternal life is a gift, and I'm going to stand before God one day, and the only way to do it with any confidence is to trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. One old Puritan put it like this, the God remembered in youth will be the friend in old age. Remember God, your Creator, in the days of your youth, and then keep in mind that one of these days, He will bring everything into account. Maybe you're past the days of your youth. Maybe you actually qualify for discounts at Denny's. Guard your heart, older person, and maintain perspective that even this stage of life is a gift from God. And the God who gave it is closer to taking it back again than when you first started. But rejoice, because once this well-structured clay goes back into the ground, the Spirit will return to God from where it came. You will return into the presence of your Father. And so take courage, knowing this, that God is a God who carries us even until our old age. For all of us, as people who believe God's word, who love the gospel, we need to remember this. The book of Ecclesiastes reminds us that all of life is a gift, therefore all of life is sacred. That means life that's still in the womb, and that means old age. We live in a time where life in the womb is discounted and old age is discounted. As Christians, we need to honor all of life because we honor the God who made life. Let's pray. Father, we pray for the young people that are here today. We pray that they would come to grips with this great text and that they would truly remember you, Lord, even now in their youth, and that they would live their life before you to the full for your honor and praise, following your Son. And Father, we pray for those who are older among us, and we pray that they would bank all of their hope on you as the God who will carry them even until their final days. Father, we thank you that we have an eternal weight of glory that awaits us. We pray, Father, that perspective would sustain us in the midst of all of the mysteries and pain and the temporariness of this life. We pray that you would use Ecclesiastes to strengthen us and to help us walk in a manner worthy of our calling. In Jesus' name. Amen.